Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you, and welcome into the Mark Tax Morning Show on a Friday. And ladies and gentlemen, let the meltdown begin. Yeah, I guess the meltdown started yesterday. What do you think? Happy you're with us this morning. We've got so much to talk about. So much counseling to hand out in one morning. I'm not quite sure how I'll do it. Kim Sainange, how are you?
Good. Happy it's Friday. What about you?
I'm very happy it's Friday. Carl Middleman, how about those Blues? Can I just tell you that?
First it was depressing because they let them tie the game with 20 seconds.
But they won.
They did.
In
so
OT.
It all didn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I thought that was fantastic.
Tom Ackerman was there. Wanted to hear a Grateful Dead song in the third period.
Yes. Yeah. I saw where our friend Smitty was there.
Smitty was on camera with Polo from the...
Right, from the Cardinals,
from
right?
From the Cardinals so broadcasting
the team. Broadcasting
would team, anything be done tomorrow? Because that would potentially break the record for the number of wins in a row for the Blues.
For the Blues,
for the
right?
Blues,
team,
right.
Team
other
record.
Teams have done, right. I think it was right. 17 or 18
15,
is the record, I thought.
I think it's 15.
Well, you don't want to curse them. You don't want to put too much pressure on them.
I know.
Because they're all aware of it now. But good for them. That was exciting. I'm glad the Blues are having some success. Did the Cardinals play yesterday?
They did.
I was tuned out. No. I have no idea.
No, they play today.
It's a road game. They're on the. Oh. They
yeah,
to
Red
Boston.
Sox today, 1-10.
I knew they were out of town because we were supposed to have the bananas here, but they got rained out.
Yeah, people are bummed about that. Have you? So there are they? Are they kind of
would
like?
Never pay to go.
What am I thinking of? Oh my
the
gosh,
Harlem
the Harlem Globetrotters,
of
but
baseball.
Of baseball, where they do goofy stuff and like stunts and stuff.
The St. Paul Saints are another team like that.
Yeah,
so is it
so
worth
it's like going
them?
To a minor league game or something,
it
or they just have fun and play around.
But they actually get hits. But they actually
sure.
play baseball and get hits. It's just that they're doing it on like stilts and stuff.
Yeah,
the thing is,
they're entertainers.
You can't go to Savannah and get tickets, so because every game is sold out.
That's amazing.
And so they're doing this tour.
But good for them, mm-hmm. right? Like the Harlem Globetrotters. I always thought about that with the Harlem Globetrotters. If they're that good, why aren't they playing in the NBA making millions of dollars?
Well, some of them might not like it.
I believe when they started, they weren't allowed to play in the NBA.
What, the Globetrotters?
When they started.
But at some point, Metalark Lemon and all those guys... certainly existed at a time when the NBA existed.
Yes, and some of them did
maybe some of them retired to that.
I mean, it would be more fun and probably less demanding, less pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's millions of dollars or Harlem Globetrotters. I don't know how much they make. Probably a lot. Nothing compared to if you were playing on a solid team in the NBA.
True.
But
it's also fun.
It's fun, yeah. I mean, maybe that's worth it to still make some money and have fun.
Carl, a friend of mine, I was trying to get him to do something today, and he goes, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, why? He goes, I'm not available Friday. Why? What's going on? I'm going to, and I had to look at my phone twice, Kelsey Ballerina?
Ballerini.
Ballerini.
I like Ballerina.
I'm like.
Well, I called her Chelsea last night, and somebody yelled at
Who the hell is that?
She is a country singer.
Oh, I've met her. I got to meet her in Nashville.
Did
she's
you
nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for
Tiny
her.
Tiny little thing.
She is. Mm-hmm.
So she's playing tonight at
Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sure you've heard one of her songs, especially with Ginger, your daughter.
I might have heard one and just didn't know who it was. That was sort of how I was with Morgan Wallen. Like, I heard way more of that than I ever wanted to, because she would play every album when she would get in the car and plug her phone in.
I like Morgan Wallen. I like. Yeah. Well, I just like country music. Neither of you do, but I do.
You know, it's growing on me. I grew up really disliking country music and
so
making fun of my dad for listening to it, because he was a bluegrass fan,
mm-hmm.
and I would have to be. I'd have to ride in the car and be subjected to Foggy Mountain Breakdown every time I got in the car.
See,
it seemed like
that's and, great.
I know it. I know it is. In hindsight, it is. At the time, I wanted to listen to Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
See, I hated country growing up. Lived in Nashville, and I'm like, all right, fine. This is actually good.
I was tying my red lipstick because you said you didn't like it.
All right.
I don't even know this song.
I cannot say that I've ever heard that one.
There's other songs that she sings that you would recognize.
A lot of okay. I don't listen enough to differentiate between one female country artist and another.
Oh. Diana's saying she's on The Voice as a judge. I don't watch The Voice. There you go.
You got me swinging.
Mark's a big fan of The Voice. Catches it every week.
The only time I've seen The Voice, generally speaking, is when somebody puts a reel up on like Facebook or something and I stumble across it and it briefly catches my attention. You know what I watched last night?
The hockey game.
American Idol? Is that on Thursdays?
I watched Tombstone. So I went back and watched Tombstone in honor of Val Kilmer last night.
I played five Val Kilmer songs.
Nice. Val Kilmer from The Doors?
I played some Doors. I played some songs from Batman Forever.
All right.
I played two Top Gun songs.
Anybody catch on?
Yes.
Okay,
in
nice.
In fact, our people we know said,
good.
This is a fantastic
this
tribute.
This is great. Thank you for honoring a Val Kilmer. One of his greatest performances, I swear. I don't know how they made that man look so sickly.
Would I like that movie?
Which one?
Tombstone?
It's a love story.
It's a love story.
Okay, let's be real. What
Wyatt
the
Earp
love story that I would think is a love story,
yes,
or death and gore and people being having their heads chopped off.
There's death and gore, and it's the Wild West, and there are shootouts, but it's a love story.
OK Corral.
It's Wyatt Earp looking into Josephine's eyes and falling madly in love with this dark-haired beauty.
And he plays Doc Holliday.
Yes.
I'm not sure you sold me on it.
You would enjoy it.
I don't think you'd like it.
Come on.
Carl's just being honest.
All right. We've rambled enough here this morning on a Friday morning. We're all happy that it's a Friday. We got lots of good stuff to get to for you, including sort of an explanation of what happened. What the hell happened yesterday in the market? The sky is falling. If you listen to all of the headlines this morning, Trump tariffs caused worst stock market drop since 2020. Oh, these horrible tariffs. I'm here for you. The counselor is in, and we're going to talk about this morning. In fact, coming up in the next segment, I'm going to take you to school on this so you can quit panicking, because there's no reason to panic whatsoever. Just ignore the noise. I'm just telling you. We're going to get to all that for you coming up here in a couple minutes. Carl, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
I said this would exactly be the way it is. We have $6 or $7 trillion coming into our country, and we've never seen anything like it.
It's going to be fine, the president said. I expected this. Yeah, what you saw yesterday was Wall Street on a short-term expectation trying to punish Donald Trump. And 3 months from now, they're going to be celebrating him. Take my word for it.
We need to not worry about manufacturing in America, because what we should establish is a policy of unfettered free trade.
Oh, look at that. Bernie Sanders arguing for tariffs. How about that? Way back in 2008, how the worm turns.
We have almost 3-1 Republicans in the House of Representatives. I mean, because I have to look to see, are we in Florida or are we in San Francisco in some of the stuff?
Baby, Ron DeSantis tearing them up in the Florida legislature, sort of like we've often chewed out our legislature here in Missouri, where we have a super majority of Republicans and can't get simple, conservative legislation passed.
When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black.
Woo, baby. DEI hire Jasmine Crockett there admitted it in a congressional hearing this week.
Oh, seems like a really good reason to hire someone. Who cares about your credentials? Who cares about your experience?
I had zero experience, but I said you should hire me because of the color of my skin, said no one ever in a job interview in recent times.
Maybe I'll try that next time. If I ever go for a different job years down the road, like I am white and I would like you to hire me for that reason.
You just hate her because you're a racist MAGA person. You're all racist. And yet she's admitting that she talked her first boss into hiring her because of the color of her skin. The story never changes, only the faces on the left in this country.
And her accent.
Kamala has gone back to California, it appears, and now Jasmine has moved into Washington, D.C. And all saying the same thing, just different people.
Is AOC okay with Jasmine Crockett being in the spotlight so much?
Alexandria,
is she melting down yet?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has modified her outward personality. She's altered it. I saw a video the other day. I might have saved it. I'll have to look. Where a reporter was chasing her down the hallway in D.C. And sometimes when you would chase the squad, you would get chewed out, you would get cussed at, you would, you know, get ignored. You might get a hand in your face like Jasmine Crockett did the other day to a reporter in the halls of Congress. This reporter was asking, Ms. Cortez, could you answer a question for us? Have you sold your Tesla? And she stopped and she turned around and she goes, I can't answer that for security reasons. I really don't want people to know what kind of car I drive. She was very reasonable. She didn't get mad about it. And then she turned and walked into the elevator. I was shocked. Because before she would have screamed at it for how dare you bring that up to me and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was just, she's a different person.
Is she up for re-election in 2 years?
I'm sure.
I bet you Jamal Bowman is what scared her, thinking, okay, if I'm this way, people might dislike me enough to not be able to get reelected.
I fear that that former bartender is a little sharper than we'd like to give her credit for, if she's changing her colors a little bit. All right, we'll get to a quick break here right after we get to, I'm assuming, the fray.
Kim picked the music today, so yeah.
Warren of Massachusetts. Senator, is...
This can be a really valuable tool in the economic toolbox. So think of it this way. You have a prescription filled right now in America. You realize it has a 9 out of 10 chance that medication was manufactured somewhere overseas, most likely Asia, the materials.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
It's Lizzie Warren. You need to freak out over what's going on in the market. I have some advice. You need to calm down. That always works with my wife. Do you think that worked? Say it. Hey, listen, I think it's time to talk the country down off the cliff here. If you listened to the mainstream media yesterday, well, heck, if you listened to them this morning, don't, by the way, they would lead you to believe the U.S. economy is about to crash. And I have some advice. Stop listening to the mainstream media. They exist to distract you from what's really going on here, but don't buy into it, folks. The headline this morning is it's the greatest stock market setback since COVID 5 whole years ago. The market did drop, about 5% in some cases yesterday, depending on which index you looked at. Here's the breaking news. The market is still 10% higher than it was 5 years ago when it dropped. Have any of them mentioned that to you? The percentage drop in relation to the 40,000 mark of the Dow right now is apples and oranges to what happened even in 2008 or 2007. You have got to put this in perspective and trust that the president knows what he's doing. I'm not saying the market might not drop some more. I suspect that it might, but it wasn't some life-altering event yesterday. I trust Donald Trump a lot more than I trust all those pointy-headed economists running around with their heads cut off, screaming the world's about to come to an end. Wall Street is trying to punish Donald Trump for the actions he took to fix a 70-year-old problem for America. In some ways, it's sort of like an intervention for somebody who's drinking too much. It's an uncomfortable situation at first because the person drinking too much enjoys it. They don't know they have a drinking problem, or they haven't accepted it. This is an intervention for our allies and in many cases our enemies who for 70 years have been drinking for free at this bar called America. They just learned their next drink's going to cost them $5. And they're very unhappy about that because they don't want to stop drinking for free. Listen, don't fall for this lie that from these reporters who chase nothing other than the next headline they can write about how bad Donald Trump is. That is their cottage industry. Every lefty I know put up a post on Facebook yesterday whining about how this is so hard on them and look at their 401k and blah, blah, blah. None of these people have even a basic understanding of the economy. They can't see past the end of their very short noses. Very, very short-sighted. For all this talk around the world that they're going to retaliate or whatever, Macron said they're going to get even, forget about it. He's blowing smoke. They're like in denial about that drunk who was just informed by his family he's being sent to rehab. And when we wean them from America's sore-chapped nipples, the entire world is going to be better off. Trust me on this. No politician elected up until now has had the balls to do what Donald Trump did yesterday, knowing the fit that Wall Street would throw afterwards. And a huge part of that drop, by the way, came from hedge fund managers who anticipated it and put in sell orders. And many of them are sad they didn't sell more. So don't overblow this for what it is. Fortunately, you have a president who sees the long-term gain. He knows it's worth the short-term pain. These countries are going to collapse like a cheap house of cards in the next few weeks, and Wall Street's going to come roaring back. The tariffs will be dropped. It's going to be a much stronger position globally, and we won't be taken advantage of as we have been for the last 70 or 80 years. Trust in the process and ignore the noise.
Kim on a whim.
A job interview ends badly for a man in Georgia. Chris Lewis was arrested March 22nd. Police say he left his kids in a McDonald's by themselves while he went to an interview for a job. He reportedly told police he did not have a car and lived nearby. Lewis said instead of making his three kids, who are 1, 6, and 10 years old, walk home alone, he decided to make them stay in the restaurant.
Well, people felt so bad for this Georgia dad who was just trying to make some money to provide for his family that they started defending this man for leaving his children as young as 1 year old at the McDonald's for about 2 hours.
He left a one-year-old
you heard
that
him.
Long?
Well, yeah. So he has three at children. All. The youngest is one, and they were left there for an hour and 42 minutes on March 22nd. He said he had to go do a job interview. Well, people were so devastated that this poor father was arrested for just trying to get a job that a GoFundMe page was started by none other than Antonio Brown, the former NFL wide receiver.
Okay.
There's $80,000+ that was raised on that page. $82,898 was raised. I mean, people were going nuts, feeling so bad for this guy, saying he was mistreated, he shouldn't have been arrested. Well, what do you know, Mark Cox? Turns out this guy made the whole story up.
Oh, no.
His 10-year-old daughter said that, oh, my dad does this quite frequently. You know, they went to the supposed, I guess it's a hotel, this hotel where he was supposedly interviewing, and they confirmed, you know, yeah, he did drop off an application, but we were not interviewing him. So basically, the alibi that he tried to give was not checking out. So people aren't really sure exactly what he was doing, but he was definitely not doing what he said he was, so, which was going on a job interview.
So he did abandon his kids. He left them there for 2 hours. He was not being interviewed for a job.
No.
He was out, like, looking for crack, or what exactly was he doing?
I don't really know. It doesn't really say exactly what he was doing.
Huh.
There's some holes that were poked in another story he tried to tell about, oh, I was going to drop off some bag for the mom of the kids, and then I lost my ID and all this stuff. And none of his stories were really adding up. But it sounds like he uses the McDonald's basically as a daycare for his kids. You know, so, hey, I have other things I would like to do in my life, so go play at the McPlay, whatever it's called.
Was it a GoFundMe page?
It's a GoFundMe page that Antonio Brown started. This just goes to show you that when you're donating to a lot of these pages, you have to be so cautious. Like, there are really awful people out there who will see someone who's just been diagnosed with, well, they'll make up that they have cancer and start GoFundMe pages, and then they will hopefully face criminal charges. We've seen stories like that. But you also have stories where you truly do find out that somebody was in a tragic accident or passed away or has a really, you know, a terminal illness, and they're saying they're raising money for the family. Turns out they have no connection to that person. I don't know the proper way to vet all of these GoFundMe pages. I'm not super keen on donating to them. I certainly have.
I think the key is don't do it out of emotion. If you see a story that tugs at your heartstrings, look at the GoFundMe page, read the story, save it to your history or bookmark it or something, and wait a couple of days and then go back and see if it like hasn't been found out to not be legit. Because once your money's gone, it's gone. I think you ought to be very cautious. That doesn't mean there aren't some great causes out there. Remember the people that claimed that guy that washed her windshield and was homeless and all that, and she started the GoFundMe page and raised a couple $100,000. I forget where that was. And then they busted her and her husband and the guy for making up the whole story.
Oh my gosh.
Just to fund a GoFundMe. I think she went to jail. I think she was convicted for it.
Well, she should. She's stealing from people.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, this is what he initially wrote. Story caught me by surprise. A dad just trying to find a way to make money for his family. I know he shouldn't just leave his kids, but some people don't have the means for babysitting. This GoFundMe set in place to help this man. Yada, yada, yada. Well, then he goes down and updates it yesterday, saying he's gathering additional information from the family. He's in touch with GoFundMe. The funds will remain on hold, but if anyone, I guess, who donated would like to request a refund, GoFundMe will honor it. Well, yeah, they should honor it, considering the guy made the whole story up.
Yeah. I wonder, I was just Googling here when you were talking. I wondered what Antonio Brown's net worth was. Do we have any idea?
I'll look it up right now.
It says he's worth millions, is what it says here. American professional football player is a net worth.
$3 million.
It says $3 million. I don't know if they know what they're talking about or not. That's interesting. So he did have some bankruptcy problems. I know he's had some money problems. I was about to say, I wonder, whenever I see celebrities get involved in this thing and ask other people who make a lot less money than them to donate to something, I'm always a little suspicious. Remember when,
Oprah?
Was it Oprah and The Rock? We're trying to get people to donate to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're both worth a gazillion dollars. Mm-hmm. I think she's a billionaire now.
Oh, she's absolutely
a
billionaire.
She's definitely a left-wing oligarch. And she's trying to get hard-working men and women around America to send their $10 or $15 or $25 or $100 in for this fund when she could just fund the whole thing herself and not miss the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about it. A lot of these people that they make all so much fun of give away hundreds of millions of dollars every year.
Well, I could understand it if Oprah were coming out saying, hey, I'm donating, let's just throw out a number of $200 million to the relief efforts in Hawaii, but I'm also asking if you feel called to donate. You know, but I don't remember her saying that she was even... Do you remember her saying she was donating herself?
I don't. Maybe she did make a small donation.
Like
I really
$5.
Don't know. But I do
Oprah
remember,
Winfrey, $5 to GoFundMe.
I do remember The Rock saying he learned a valuable lesson from that, that he wouldn't do something like that again. You know who doesn't do that? Parton.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Donald
no,
Trump.
No, Dolly Parton. She puts her money where her mouth is, man. She donates money to those flood victims and to people all across Appalachia, certainly where she grew up over the years. She has donated a ton of money to charities. And I guess she's going to leave most of her fortune to it. She didn't have any kids. I guess,
well,
she's got family.
When you see a celebrity getting involved, it adds some sort of legitimacy to it. Having Antonio Brown's name attached to this GoFundMe,
I'm sure
made people think, well, of course he would have done his due diligence and checked the story out and made sure. A lot of people didn't even question it. I initially saw the headline before it all came out debunked, and I remember thinking, well, that's still weird. That's still odd that you would leave three children those ages alone for 2 hours. I would never do that. So there was already some weirdness with that. Now, the job interview, whatever, but I mean, now just to find out that this whole thing is a lie, it just goes to show how quickly you can pull at the heartstrings of people on the internet. Like, you put up one little headline. Half the people probably didn't even take the time to read the story. They just saw the headline, man interviewing for job who had left his kids, you know, so he could try to make money, arrested. And, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. These cops are just terrible. Why would they arrest this poor father?
I'm sure that's what happened. What was the Will Smith movie where he was working on Wall Street, Pursuit of Happiness?
Oh, I
and
love
had to
that movie.
Take his kid along on some of his job interviews and all that stuff. Maybe that's what they were thinking of.
That's a great movie.
It was a great movie.
Wasn't that actually, that is his kid?
I think it was his
son. In real life.
Yes. Wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of their children turned out to be really odd, didn't they?
Yes.
Isn't he a little odd?
They're both a little odd.
See, James is saying on Facebook, I don't trust any of the GoFundMes.
Well, I mean, I think you can trust some of them. You have to watch it with a critical eye and don't read the story and rush to the GoFundMe page and immediately donate your money. Give it a few days. Just find out how legitimate it is, or if any stories come out about the fact that, hey, wait a minute, this may not be real. I don't think you can get your money back, generally speaking.
So for example, wasn't there a GoFundMe? There is one actually for Brian McKenna. Who died recently here in St.
Really?
Louis.
I didn't know that. They announced his parade the other day, didn't they?
Maybe I'm thinking of, I'm sorry, maybe I'm thinking of the, no, it says there is. Well, it says he's hospitalized. That must be someone different. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the police officer who had his leg amputated.
Nathan Spies?
I don't know why my brain is mixing those up, because obviously it's two completely different stories. For him, for that officer.
Yes.
And that one is very legitimate.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, you have to look at who's organizing it. And like you said, I think it's good to give it a couple of days and see where it goes. And there obviously were a lot of headlines from legitimate sources about that.
Right.
I mean, you saw headlines from quote-unquote legitimate sources with this story, too.
Yeah. You can parse them out if you're just cautious with it and don't give to everything. There's a tendency to want to do that. Yeah.
The McKenna party is on May 31st.
The street party?
Yeah. The street party.
And isn't it Southampton?
Yes. Macklin and not.
I don't think there's a Brian McKenna GoFundMe. Like. Sorry if I got anyone thinking
there
was.
Well, there was when he originally had cancer.
Okay, and when he was in the hospital?
Yeah, and then
maybe
he gave
that was
all
what
that
I saw.
Money back. He didn't use it himself. He re-charitied it.
Wow. All right. Still ahead this morning. We'll get to J.J. Carafano just a little later from Heritage.
He just retweeted us.
Oh, did he? Really? Nice.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate that. The Capitol beat this morning is Congressman Eric Burleson, who's been up there making some headlines on a lot of issues like, national concealed carry reciprocity and shutting down the ATF. We're going to get him on here at about 7:35 this morning. Stay tuned. Oh, that's a dirty trick, Kim.
I have to listen
to
this song.
That's going to be lodged in our brains the rest of the day.
Stop, my son. BB Shark, BB Shark. Instead of Grandpa Shark, he says Papa Shark because he calls my dad and my husband's dad Papa. You'll hear him in his room, in his crib, going by himself, Baby Shark, over and over again.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you guys are welcome.
Make it stop. I'll be whistling that in a few minutes. You know that, don't you?
Come on, it's catchy.
Yeah, it's catchy like a cold. You don't want that bouncing around in your brain.
I should have done the 99 bottles of beer in the world. Maybe next time I win, real or fake.
Uh-huh. Carl said you had to give him your 9 songs. I was wondering what we were going to come up with. Baby Shark was not on my bingo card.
You are welcome.
Can I just tell you that? I know I did a soapbox on this earlier, but I just got to go back to this for a minute. I continue to turn around. We have a multi-view monitor in here, and I'm watching the world, the BBC World News. Morning Joe is up there. CNN is up there, and all of the headlines are about Donald Trump causing this huge stock market crash, and what are we going to do, and it's awful. And I know that even while they're reading it, they don't believe it. I just want to see if you can come up with this off the top of your head. Most of you won't be able to. And I will I'll try to explain this by way of my background. And I explain this every time I go do one of these retirement advisory group events. Between my television career and taking a job full-time in radio, I had a weekend show since 2010, but before I did a full-time radio show,
I studied for and passed the Series 7 exam to get my securities license and several other exams besides that. It's like taking the bar exam. It's not easy. I'm not just saying. And I found out that at that age, I was a very different student than I was when I was in my 20s. I can just tell you that. You're far more serious about it when your livelihood depends on it. What they'll tell you is that if you pass that exam, you understand more about the economy and how the market works, I should say, at least, than probably 90 or 95% of Americans who haven't studied some of that stuff.
Sure.
Just in terms of how securities work and bonds
that
and
makes sense.
Trading and all that stuff. And I mean this sincerely. These people who are anchoring the news at MSNBC and CNN and all this morning, telling you that the sky is falling, don't have any historical perspective at all on the stock market. I'm not saying things aren't down, but this is not the stock market crash of 1929 when the Dow was at 1,200. The Dow is at 40,000 today, right? In December of 2019, it was at 35,000. And in April of 2020, after COVID, it dropped to 30,000. So that's what, a 5% drop, roughly? It dropped to 30,000. And then it climbed back up to 35,000 by October of 2022. And when all this happened the other day, it was at like 43. And now it's down to 40. You have to put this in perspective. It's a drop in the bucket. There are billions more dollars in the market now than there were in 2020. The market has grown that much. So while a 5% drop does amount for a significant amount of money, a lot of this, these are hedge fund people who saw what was coming. Trump said it's Liberation Day. So they, knowing that Liberation Day was coming on Wednesday, many of them preloaded their hedge funds to sell the day before or the day of because they were expecting the market to drop. And when they did that, it just magnified the drop in the market because a lot of that was pre-planned. And when they see what, and I'm not saying it's a nothing burger, but when they see what the return is going to be to America, once these countries will either start dealing with us fairly or they're going to start paying us money, one of the two. And that stock market's going to continue to climb as it has historically. Just trust me on this. Don't buy this sky is falling argument that the mainstream media is going to give you today. All they care about is damaging Donald J. Trump because they hate him. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.